Turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10. I don't feel like standing on my feet. It gives me out. It's worn me out the last two Sundays. So we're going to maybe try this for a while. Romans chapter 10. I want to talk to you something about faith today. Faith. I hear people from time to time say, I got faith. What does that mean? It really could mean nothing. If you got faith, where's your faith centered at? Real faith, Bible faith, is centered on the Lord. He's the only one that can do anything. So a little bit, I picked out some verses on faith today that we're going to look at, and I want you to follow in your Bible to each one of these. We're going to talk about faith, how to get faith. How can you get real faith? Bible faith. True faith. Turn to Romans chapter 10 this morning. And I challenge you to each one of these references that I share with you this morning that you'll follow along in your own Bible. And you might want to even put a mark beside them that you can go back to or recognize when you're going through your Bible sometime and read that verse again. Romans 10:17, we're talking about how to get faith. How you want to really have Bible faith? Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, people not in church is not hearing the Word of God. They're not being developing a real faith. That's one of our problems in our country today. If you don't hear the Word of God, you're not going to have real faith. Faith in God, faith in Christ, faith to believe in for the salvation of your soul. This is so important, folks. You cannot get faith any other way. You might say, I got faith. Oh, I got faith the sun's coming up in the morning. That's not faith. We know it's going to come up in the morning. Amen. You might say, well, I got faith it's going to rain tomorrow. You don't have that kind of faith. You can't see tomorrow. People deceive their own selves. Real faith, Bible faith, you can only get it from this book here. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing what God says. Our Sunday school lesson was a very good example of that. God had already told them he was going to give them the land, and yet 10 of them didn't believe it. But God had already told, we got to believe what God said. He said it in this book. That's how you get real faith. We know the Lord is with us. We may not feel him. We may not see him. We may not have any indication. But he said he's with us. We got to believe that. He can't lie. The Lord's with us. He said if you get two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst. We got to believe that. That's faith. Believe it. Believe what he said. That's how you get Bible faith, real faith. Faith that'll help you go through the storms. And I'll tell you, we're going to go through storms. I've been through a few storms. And if we keep living, we're all going to go through some storms that'll rock your foundation sometime. But God said, I won't forsake you. I'll make a way. Oh, I tell you what, I've lived long enough now, I can look back to how we got started. We got started with nothing. And you know what? Even though we had nothing, there was always a way made to keep going on. Keep going on. But you got to keep believing. You got to keep pressing on. So, you want a real Bible faith? Believe the Word of God. You can claim it and believe it because it's true. I didn't say it was going to be easy, did I? I didn't say it was going to be easy. Sometimes it just looks like there's no way. But God's Son said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So make sure your faith is a genuine faith, Bible-based faith. And when the storms come, God will make you through. Help you get it through. Now, let's go and see another example in Hebrews 11. Turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This is a little bit different verse, but I want us to see this. Hebrews 11 and 3. Hebrews 11 and 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, here's our verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the word of God. Think about that statement. The worlds were made by the word of God. So that things which are seen, the things you see that were made by the word of God, were not made of things which do appear. Now, what do we see? We see dirt and rock and all these other materials that the world is made out of. And the Bible just says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God when there was nothing. There was no dirt. There was no rocks. There was no mountain. There was no anything. And God just spoke, and out of it came what we see today. But then he said, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So out of nothing, God has made what we see today. Now, you know what? That sounds impossible, that somebody could just speak and there's nothing there and he made the universe. But listen, I can't speak for you, but I believe it myself. I believe there was a time when there was nothing but the Trinity. And then God made angels sometime. We don't know, but no one knows when he made the angels. But there was a time when God, when there was nothing spoken, this universe came into being. And this universe is so big, learned men don't even know how big the universe is. They first 20 or 30 years, we have probes going out in space, and they hadn't reached the other side yet. And they're traveling like 25,000 miles an hour. It's awesome how big this universe is. Wonder how big it'll be when we get to heaven and a new heaven and a new earth. Boy, that's going to be something, folks. So, Hebrews 11:3 tells us how the world was made. It didn't evolve. God spoke it into existence. We're serving a mighty God, church. Your God is mighty. That's the reason God can take care of us. That's the reason we can depend on him. He's mighty God. And the flip side of that mighty God is he loves us more than we love ourselves. You know how much you love yourself? God loves you more than that. Lots more than that. God loved you so much he sacrificed his only son for you. And we can't even grasp that. We can't even grasp that, that love of God for you. And the thing about it, we all were sinners. We were all rebelling against him. We were all doing wrong against him. And he still loved us. Oh, brother, what a God, folks. What a God. What a God we're going to be with one day. what a God we're going to be with. And like our Sunday school lesson, I think Johnny read to one of the first sentences was about in our lesson today, being a Christian is not an easy thing. It's not easy to be a Christian. If it was, everybody would be one. We're tested. Let's turn in our Bible now to Hebrews 11:6, brought down to verse 6. Boy, now this is a verse that you ought to be sure to have marked. Talking about our faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You ought to have faith in Him, faith in His Word. If you don't have faith in God, faith in His Word, what He says, you can't please Him. You can't please Him. We please God by faith, by living by faith. We come to church today, nobody threatened us. But God said in His Word, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. We come by faith at the appointed place, at the appointed time. Amen. That's how you please God, church. Amen. We come because God said to come. You know what? The reason God said for us to come, we needed it. We need to hear the Word. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. We need to be still in our churches so we can concentrate on what the Word of God is saying. What about these churches where they're rolling into floors? And they look like they're at a rock concert. Faye and I have been watching it this week. They're rolling into floors. Some of them are yanking like they got a demon in them, and I believe they do. I believe it's satanic in those churches. Demon at work, deceiving people. They think they're worshiping God. Folks, the Bible says everything in the church is supposed to be done decently and in order. How are you going to worship God when there's a racket going on? We need to be quiet so you can focus on what God is saying in His Word, so you can drink it in. Feed your soul and spirit. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, once you've been saved, you should still seek to get closer to the Lord. Some of us, it takes us the time to figure that out. But if you stay going to church, you'll find yourself growing in the Lord, maturing in the Lord. And the more you learn about this book, the more exciting it is to be saved, folks. Don't you find that to be true, brother? The more you know about this book and God's plan, the more exciting it is. And the more we look forward to going to be with the Lord. Amen. So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You got to live by what this book says. You got to live by what this book says to please God. You don't just live each day and do your thing, so to speak. You live to please the Lord. Live by what He says. This book gives us the directions on how to please God, how to praise God, how to draw nigh to God. He said, if you draw nigh to me, God said, I'll draw nigh to you. See, we got to put forth an effort. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want to get closer to the Lord. How do I get closer to the Lord? Surrender more of yourself to the Lord. Learn, get into the Word of the Lord. Listen to the Word of the Lord. As you yield more and more of yourself to the Lord, you draw nigh to God, and God draws nigh to you. Yeah. And you can't get too close to Him. Amen. You can't get too close to Him. And we have to fight this old flesh nature we got. All of us have got it. All of us have got it. This old flesh nature didn't get converted when you got saved. is still rotten. Amen? Amen? So, you want to please God? Got to live by His Word. Live by His Word. Believe what His Word says, because He means it. He's given it to us to help us, folks. He's called us out to be a special people, that we might bring glory to His name. He wants us to see all His glory for eternity, folks. Folks, we're going to have a time when we get to heaven. We can't even imagine what all's there. There won't be a dull moment there. Not one dull moment. No. Let's look at another passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. I've just picked out a few different verses about our faith, that we have real faith, Bible faith. Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we're justified by faith. What does that mean? That means God accepts us. God has accepted us. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we were saved, all of our sin was canceled. All of it. Even before you were even born. Think about that. Before you were born, all your sin is paid for. We've been justified, the Bible says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did He do that? By taking our place and paying for our sin when He was on the cross. And like our song, gentlemen, you picked out a good song today. Jesus paid it all. He paid everybody's debt. Everybody in the world that would ever live, their sin has been paid for. Isn't that awesome? Through the blood of Christ. Everybody. No one left out. But it's those that's wise enough to know and believe what God said. We're all sinners, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask Jesus to be our Savior. Just by asking the Lord to save us, all of our sin is forever blotted out, will never be mentioned to us again at the judgment. Won't that be something? Oh, you go down to the courthouse today, they're going to try to find something wrong with you. Amen? Yeah, they are. They're going to try to find something. They'll make up something. But when we get to the judgment seat of Christ as believers, there's nothing going to be brought up against us. Now, what's going to be taking place, and I've told y'all this many times, and it's still true. God's going to look at the time we got saved till the time we go to heaven to see what have we did for the Lord. What have we been doing for the Lord? How do we live for the Lord? How did you live as a wife? How did you live as a husband? How did you do your job? How did you raise your children? How did you give your means? And how faithful did you support a church by being there? And your talents. What did you do with all your talents God gave you? Have you used them wisely? That's what's going to be dealt with at when we go to the judgment, folks. Not that we have any sin, but how faithfully did I serve the Lord? And then it'll be determined if I get a reward or not. That's what's going to be determined. Will I get any reward or rewards? Will depend on how we serve the Lord. And it's like this. Basically, we're all on our own in that sense. But we live our Christian life by faith. And how faithfully we serve the Lord will be rewarded one day. And in heaven, there'll be different levels of people that who had more rewards and some less rewards, and probably some with no rewards. Probably the thief on the cross won't have any rewards because he just got saved and that was all. But we'll have different levels, apparently. So I love this verse here in Romans. Therefore, being justified as if we have never, ever sinned will be our position, every one of us, like we had never been a sinner. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome, isn't it? Like never having been one. That's how thoroughly the blood of Christ cleanses us and makes us a new person in Christ. Now, let's go back to the back of the book, to the book of James and chapter 2. James chapter 2, talking about faith today. And James chapter 2 and verse 7. And I may have wrote down the wrong verse. Oh, verse 17. I did make it wrong. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You say you're saved? You say the Lord has saved you? Well, you ought to have something to back it up, not just say you're saved. Just saying you're saved and you don't have anything to show for it, that's bad, ain't it? That's what James is saying. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We should have works that verify I've been saved, that the Lord has changed my life. And that shows up in how faithfully we serve the Lord, being the kind of people that God... You know, it's not just what we are here in the church. It's what we are at home. It's what we are on the job. It's what we are wherever we are. We're to be a Christian wherever we are. It's not like putting on a suit, a clothes, or a dress and taking it off. No, Christianity is a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week job. We're Christians everywhere. And we should always be mindful of that. And James said, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. In verse 14 of James, it said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Yeah, you can be saved by faith, but you should have some works to back it up. And probably the thief on the cross, all he had was faith in Jesus. He saw there was something different about Jesus, folks, and he asked Christ to remember him. Well, he got saved. Because Jesus himself said, I'm going to take you to paradise right now. Amen. I mean, he got the real deal. But did he have any works? Nothing other than exercising that faith to accept Christ. So a person can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but, you know, I don't want to venture out into how indifferent he can live out that faith, you know. God's the judge on that. But I'm saying this, if we accept Christ as our Savior, we should live for the Lord, and people ought to see the difference in our lives. Or the Lord, people ought to see how the Lord changed our life. Praise God for the word. In 1 John 5:4, still further to the back of your Bible, 1 John 5:4. Now, this is talking about our victory with faith, our faith. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world system. But we got a bad world system today, don't we? Mm-hmm. But we don't have to live like the world, do we? We don't have to live like the world. We're to be different. We're a sanctified people. We're a justified people. We're a new creation. We're children of God. We're different. We're to live different. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Because we believe the word. We're living by the word, church. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the more you learn and know the word, the better you can live an overcoming life for the Lord. I tell you what, folks, God gave us all we needed to live a life to please him, didn't he? Give us all we needed. It's right here in this old book that, hey, the world hates this book. This book has been burnt. It's been cut to pieces. You know, Jeremiah had given it one time, what he had wrote, and the king cut it up, throwed it in the fire, if I remember right. Jeremiah sat down and wrote it again and even added more to it. Amen. Amen. He just put some more to it. Hey, folks, the people that's printed this book to make copies and the early goings of it, many of them were killed and their works destroyed because Satan hates this book, folks. This book talks about his end in the lake of fire. And he wants to keep everybody lost and going to hell with him just to spite God. He's spiting God. That's what it's about. He just hates God so much. He wants to spite God. Keep every soul he can away from the Lord. That's what the devil's doing. And people ain't got sense enough to know it. You know why? They don't read this book. They don't go to a Bible church. That's why. And little children are coming along now. And I tell you, it tears me up when I think about it. The children today, their parents are not telling them about the Lord. They're not taking them to a church. And they go to the schoolhouse, and they don't even know what sex they are anymore. This is awful, folks. You think the devil ain't on the go here at the end of the age? Trying to damn as many people as he can while he's got a chance. Folks, he's a devil. He's evil. He's wicked. He's against God. And let me tell you something. He's against you too. And he's going to be coming against you too from time to time. And boy, he can come and at the most unsuspecting time and knock us off our rocker if we're not careful. Yeah. But the Lord said here in 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. We can be overcomers, folks. We don't have to live by this world system. Amen. I don't have to go to the nightclubs and the theaters with all the filth. Amen. I don't have to go to the bars. Amen. I think one time in my life I went to a bar, but I went there to get somebody that didn't need to be in there, if I remember right, back when I was in the Army. We had to go get somebody out of the bar room. Whoso is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We got a song in our hymnal book, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. That's where victory is at. That's the only place it's at. Victory is in Jesus. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians now and look at something else in Philippians. Paul wrote this while he was in prison, the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Philippians 3 and 9. The Bible says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." People today, you know what one of a lot of people's problem is today? I'm good enough to go to heaven. See, that's their righteousness. Yeah, people think they're, you know, they're good enough to go to heaven. I think that my good works will be outweigh my bad works, a lot of people think. God's going to accept them on that principle, if there is a God. You know, people think, people reason this way. You know the reason they reason this way? They're in darkness. They haven't seen the light. And God's not going to accept anyone by how they lived. God's going to accept people who are in Christ. Got to be in Christ. Get in Christ by faith. By repenting of sin. Got to recognize you are a sinner and you're condemned. If you don't know you're a sinner, and by the way, we still are all sinners, right on. Some of us are just saved ones. But all people are sinners. But if you're not saved, God's not going to accept you. No matter who you are, what you've done, how you live. God's not going to accept anybody that won't accept his darling son, folks. Amen? I believe this. You believe this? That's what God says in his word. You don't accept my son, I'm not accepting you. Woo. You know what? God's big enough to back it up too. Amen. God's big enough to back it up. He said, "My son suffered like he did for your sin, and you won't accept him as your Savior. I'm not going to accept you either. I'm not going to accept you either." Philippians 3:9. It says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." You see, you can't live good enough to go to heaven. I can't live good enough. Billy Graham couldn't live good enough. No one can live good enough. How can a sinner live good enough? You're a sinner. All you're doing is sinning. You're sinning when you're saying, "I'm living good enough." That's a sin too. Amen? No, he said we're to be found in him, in Christ. You see, when you got saved, if you're saved, are you saved? Amen? If you're saved, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit put you in Christ. And you're in Christ. You know what? You can't even claw your way out. Because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Can I tell you something else today about you? I know this about all of you. If you're saved. I said if you're saved. I know this about all of it. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ right now. Amen? You're already in heaven. You don't even know it. Amen? Every one of us are in Christ, and he's seated at the right hand of God. That's how sure we're going to heaven. Ain't that good? Isn't that good? Yeah, that's bigger than them two men carrying all them grapes, isn't it? Amen. Look what he said in the verse 9. "Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." Faith in Christ gives us the faith. That it gives us the proper righteousness. How is that possible? Let me explain it this way. Because Christ is the only person to ever keep God's law. Christ never sinned. He qualified to be our Savior. Satan did all he could during Christ's ministry in this world to try to get Christ to sin against God. What did Jesus always say? I didn't come to do what I want. Christ never did a thing he wanted. He always did what the Father wanted. That makes me blush. That makes me embarrassed. Too many times I've did what I wanted. I bet you have too. But Jesus never did anything he wanted. He always did what the Father wanted, church. Therefore, he qualified to be a sacrifice. He qualified to die on a cross after having been nearly beaten to death, crowned with thorns, hung naked to be add to embarrassment, scoffed at, cussed, and everything else. And then he would look up into heaven and say, Father, forgive them. Boy, I'm so far away from that, it's pitiful. And I bet you probably are too. And yet he could do that, folks, for us, to rescue us. Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. You know what? Some of the people did get saved, but a lot of them didn't. Yes, Paul said from a prison, he wanted to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How are you going to please God? By faith. By faith. And if you believe what God says, then we do what God says. Amen? Then we do what God says. Let's move over to another scripture in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, number 9. Gospel of Mark, number 9. And look down at verse 23. Mark 9 and 23. Here's a man that had a son with a dumb spirit. The disciples couldn't get rid of him. He finally brought him to Jesus. In verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, sometimes you got to believe the impossible. It looks like it's impossible. That was Israel's sin many times. Oh, it's not possible for us to go in and take over that promised land. Them people there are giants. Them people got 45 cities. Them people, we ain't got a chance against them people. But they forgot God was with them. Hey, God, one with God is a majority. Amen. I mean, if you got God, you got the majority. And it's a matter, we got to learn to trust God, folks. When our troubles come and our problems come and our struggles come and we don't know which way to turn, we got to trust God. We got to call on God. Right now, we need to call on God, folks. Our country's in bad shape. You know what? It's not too out of shape for God to heal it. God could heal it. But you know our problem? Too many so-called Christians are too far from God to call. So many don't have the right kind of faith. They're deceived. The reason I do that, because I'm not judging. I'm just telling you. The Bible says in the last days, the Laodicean church would make Jesus Christ sick. And if we knew the true condition of all the churches in Robinson County, we'd be sick too, just in our county. That's not counting the whole country. I don't sense any spirit anywhere anymore. I used to, when I was coming along, you go to church, you sense there was something. There was something there. You know what I'm saying? I don't sense that no more like that. We used to. But he said in Mark chapter 9 in verse 23, he said, if thou believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. His little child. Being done like he was with a demon. And this father cried out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Church, we got to believe God. Amen. We got to believe God, folks. God's with us. God wants to bless us. God wants to help. Preacher, you got to believe this. This is not no Alice in Wonderland. This is truth. It's the Word of God. We got to believe, folks. We got to keep pressing on. We got to keep praying. We got to cry to the Lord. Do you ever cry to the Lord? And one last verse we'll look at today. Ephesians. Oh, it's familiar, but I love this passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. A great verse to end on today. As we think about our faith, how to have faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Still remember, we're talking about faith, church. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. You can't even get saved without faith. You got to believe. Or you be deceived. That rhymed, and I didn't know it would at that time. Amen. But if you don't have faith, you can't even get saved. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and he did what he did on the cross, and that he, on the third day, he arose victoriously, and for 40 days he was seen by people. And one crowd of 500 saw him at one time. You got to believe or you won't be saved. That's what separates everybody. That's what separates sinners. Some believe, some are deceived. I want to have some fun first. How many times have I heard that? When I get a little bit older, I'll get saved then. I bet you'd be surprised at the people in the graveyards that planned that, but didn't make it. They died before they believed. Yeah. He said, you're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourself. Oh, the people today in churches today, they believe that, and especially in these word of faith, these prosperity churches, and all these charismatic churches, they all got the same underlying belief, the Catholic religion, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. All, you got to hold out. You got to do something yourself to get saved. No, you don't. There's not anything you can do. Jesus Christ does all the saving, folks. All we do is believe in him. And so this verse makes it very clear. For by grace you're saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Even the faith you have to believe is a gift of God. He gives you the faith to believe. It's not your faith. He gave you the faith when you heard his word. That's why the word's so important. His word builds up faith so you can believe. Isn't that awesome? See, our salvation, church, is all of him. It's nothing of us. We're dead. How can a dead person do anything? We're dead, separated from God. But he said, by grace, you don't deserve to be. By grace, you're saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. You didn't get that faith yourself. You got it by hearing God's word. God's word will give you the faith if you'll, listen to it. And he said, and that's not of you. It's a gift of God. Not of works, he said. Not of anything you do. And all these churches I just mentioned, you know, they think they've held out. They've held on. And if one of them sins, you know what they think? I got to get saved again. Did you know in this old book here, there's not one person that ever got saved twice. Amen. Not even one. There's not even one mention ever got lost. Jesus said, I've kept all them the Father gave me. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Folks, this is a Bible church. We preach the Bible. And listen, he said, not of works, lest a person should boast. There's not anyone going to go marching up to the throne of God and saying, Lord, aren't you proud of me, what I did? Oh, I just held out, Lord. I just done it, Lord. No, there ain't going to be nobody doing that. No, there ain't nobody. I tell you what we're going to do when we see the Lord. We're going to come crawling to him. Amen. We're going to come crawling. That God would save somebody like me. That God would save me. And then let me serve him. And then when he sees us, he's going to greet us. He's going to be so happy to see us. And it weren't anything we done. He done it all. He done it all, church. And he made it possible by faith in Christ. What a Savior. What a Savior, church. Oh, how you're loved today. How you're loved today. Humble yourself. Walk before him in humility. We're nothing but sinners. Saved by the grace of God. Praise God. Loving God, thank you for letting me share this message on faith today. Challenge each heart here, Lord. Help us all to see how we need to just release all of our faith that you give us in loving you and serving you and being used of you, Lord. Thank you for the grace of God that would save sinners. We praise you. Make us a blessing to others, Lord. Bless the ministries of this church, Lord. We're a little flock. Lord, I remember Abraham and Sarah. They were old. They couldn't have children. But at 100, you caused Abraham and Sarah at 90 to have a child, Isaac. Brought forth a nation of people. Lord, out here, we're not all that young anymore, but you can make us a blessing, Lord. You can make us reproduce, Lord. You can make this little flock of sheep grow, Lord. We ask you to bless it for your holy name's sake and for the glory of our Savior. We pray, amen and amen. May the Lord bless. We invite you to our altar today if you want to come. Talk to the Lord. Pour out your heart to the Lord, folks. pour out your heart to the Lord. Tell him what he means to you. Let's love him and serve him. Let's seek to get closer to him, folks, because